My sermon is adapted from a sermon first given by Sally Patton. It is mostly her words and thoughts, but not far below the surface is the story of my daughter Kelly and me. What does it mean to declare that God does not make mistakes? What does this mean when a mother gives birth to a child with cerebral palsy or an intellectual disability? What does this mean when a child is in an accident and becomes seriously physically disabled? What does this mean when our schools increasingly teach to standardize tests at the expense of creative learning and all those children who learn differently? What does this mean when more and more children are identified within the autism spectrum? The list could go on and on. That question was asked by a mother attending one of Sally Patton's workshops on spiritual parenting. She arrived angry and spent much of the workshop crying. Her son Tim was 6 years old and had cerebral palsy. She described him lovingly as full of energy and a dynamo on wheels. Tim sometimes involuntarily jerks his hands or his body, as do many people with cerebral palsy. Just before the workshop, the mother had opened a letter from Tim's school. Inside was a photo showing a white blouse with a large red stain on the front. Scribbled below the image was a note from the principal asserting that Tim's behavior was highly unacceptable and would not be tolerated. As a result of an involuntary spasm, Tim had knocked the juice cup from the teacher's hand, which spilled the contents on her clothing. She immediately assumed he had done it on purpose, and he was punished. Everyone in the workshop sat in stunned silence. An immense anger grew in that silence until it erupted in an outpouring of stories of teachers, store clerks, acquaintances, and strangers on the street who did not see their children as whole beings, but only what was wrong with them. None of the parents in that room believed that Tim was a mistake, especially his mom. There was a huge question as to why Tim and children like him who struggle with the disability must also endure other people's misunderstandings and prejudices. Sally Patton felt hard-pressed to answer the mother's question, what does that mean? God does not make mistakes. Though at the time Sally Patton shared the mother's anger, somewhere deep inside, perhaps that still small voice within acknowledged, God does not make mistakes. And so Sally continued her spiritual journey toward understanding this belief. It started with her son, Tyler, who at age 5 began to have difficulty in school, which eventually led to a diagnosis of multiple learning disabilities. Patton initially thought, I will fix this. For 2 years, she fought with the school system. It left her feeling as if she was in a desert of no beginnings and no endings. Desperate to get out, she embarked on a spiritual quest to nurture her own healing. It eventually led to her writing of her book, which was published by the Unitarian Universalist Association, Welcoming Children with Special Needs, and an awareness that it was not her son that Sally Patton had to change, but herself. Trina Tremblay, in her book, You Will Dream New Dreams, says, it matters not what the challenges may be. What matters is that you open your heart to this child. For as difficult as things may get, you will discover that this soul wrapped in this precious little package has much to give and volumes to teach you about yourself, if you are willing to learn. all our children, not just the ones some of us parent, our ones who we happen to know, but all our children have volumes to teach us if we are willing to listen and learn. Over 1,500 years ago, Benedict wrote a short, simple document about hospitality called The Rule, a guide for monks living in monasteries during which his time were small communities of 15 or so men. The Rule has endured over time and shapes most of Western monasticism. Saint Benedict believed in order to grow as a human being, you needed other people. To be a person of great spirit cannot be done alone. Saint Benedict's rules of radical hospitality offer a wonderful model for individuals and faith communities to live by. Adopting the practice of Saint Benedict's radical hospitality leads to the creation of a beloved community in which the different, those who appear strange, and those who are marginalized by others are welcomed and accepted. Saint Benedict's hospitality is a way of love. Saint Benedict asks that we see the divine in each and every single adult and child that we encounter. Father Daniel Homan, in his book Radical Hospitality, Benedict's Way of Love, says that Saint Benedict's hospitality is not about social graces. It's about mutual reverence. In our faith communities, it is about accepting those who are different. Acceptance is not about judging or condoning behavior. It's about embracing. We do not have to like a child's behavior to embrace and accept the child. Welcoming all children into our faith communities is an act of radical hospitality. One of the ways we can become more accepting of the children we might otherwise stigmatize with a label is to find ways to perceive the world through the child's senses, so as to experience the divine in each child. When we can know the world from the child's perspective, we often become much more creative about how to include all children in the life of the church community, our church community. So those index cards you have, on one side it says deficits. And there's two or three things that you don't maybe like about yourself. So hold the deficit card facing out up to your chest. Close your eyes and imagine that everyone you meet only sees this side of you. They only talk to you from this perspective. What would the conversation be like? How would you feel? When you want to talk about something you feel good about, the person only responds to what they see on the front of your piece of paper. They only see the deficits, and they probably will try to fix you. How do you think you would react and treat them? Now release those thoughts to the universe. Now hold the gift side facing out next to your chest. Imagine that the people you meet can only see this side of you. They only talk to you from this perspective. What would that conversation be like? How would you feel? They see all your strengths and gifts, and they think you can take care of yourself. They do not try to fix anything. How do you think you would react and treat them? Let these thoughts and feelings sink into your soul. Children who have been labeled with a disability or disorder are those who are perceived as weird or difficult, move through the world as if they have a piece of paper plastered to their chest, labeling their deficits. And in this society, we want to try and fix them. We hear a child is autistic, and we immediately assume they will be difficult to handle. We hear a child is intellectually disabled or mentally retarded, a demeaning but legal designation in the state of California. And we assume that they have limited abilities. We hear a boy is struggling in school, and we assume he is not very smart or is just lazy. We hear a girl has attention deficit, and we assume she will be a troublemaker. And then we expect these children to behave according to our assumptions, which become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we wonder why some of our labeled children are so angry and difficult. From our reading, Judith Snow points out, we live in a world that follows the disability paradigm in which we define people by what is wrong with them. We feel sorry for them and want to fix them. They become special and require special services. When resources become scarce, it becomes a fight between us and them. And that fight is coming again. Judith proposes that instead we create a world based on the giftedness paradigm, in which every person, not just a few, but every single person, has differences which offer opportunities for meaningful interaction and spiritual connection. Because we choose to believe that each person is different from the next person, then no one difference should be more normal or acceptable than the next. Most people in our culture, social workers, therapists, doctors, educators, and folks from all walks of life, including us, operate within the disability paradigm in which we decide certain types of differences must be fixed. As much as the special education laws have been a powerful tool for parents trying to get educational services for their child, it perpetuates the deficit model of thinking. Ms. Snow is one of the first to be thankful for the law. And Snow also realizes that sometimes a diagnosis can bring relief to years of confusion and suffering, because now there seems to be a reason for the behavior and perhaps a method of treatment. But it's a double-edged sword. It can lead to fixing it rather than recognizing the whole child and the child's gifts. It also, as demonstrated by our activity, can lead to assumptions about acceptable behavior based on the label. So have we gone too far? Are we narrowly defining what is normal so more and more children are forced into the special needs label? When we talk about hospitality in our churches, in this church, we are addressing issues of inclusion versus exclusion, or as Judith defines it, disability paradigm versus giftedness paradigm. In our labeling activity, our culture excludes people based on a host of labels and categories of difference. Their gender, their sexual orientation, their race, their religion, their age, how they dressed, how much money they make, where they went or go to school, the list goes on and on. Father Homan, in his exploration of St. Benedict's radical hospitality, writes, "Hospitality has an inescapable moral dimension to it. It's not a mere social grace. It is a spiritual and ethical issue. It is an issue involving what it means to be human. All our talk about hospitality, openness, doesn't mean anything as long as some people continue to be tossed aside. Hospitality puts an end to injustice, but calling hospitality a moral issue does not tell us the whole truth about hospitality either. A moral issue can be bogged down in legalism. Hospitality is no legalistic ethical issue. It is instead a spiritual practice, a way of becoming more human, a way of understanding yourself. Hospitality is both the answer to modern alienation and injustice and a path to deeper spirituality. A spiritual practice is an action designed to make changes in our deepest selves. It is something we do to gain new understanding of ourselves and leads to growth, change, and a more loving way to be in the world. We stretch ourselves in spiritual practice, meditation, prayer, mindful walking or hiking, having coffee with someone, learning English can all be forms of spiritual practice. Father Homan says, because hospitality always involves giving something of ourselves to others, it is a spiritual practice. Spirituality is about relationship. It requires us to take changes, to take chances, to face our fears, to change and to grow. Accepting people different from ourselves means acknowledging our fears. And as we heard before, we are all different from one another. We live in a fear-based culture in which we fear those who are different from us. That fear has been writ large with the election of a new president who rode a wave of racism, hatred, sexism, and xenophobia into the White House. Fear of others chokes out love. Hospitality is risky and is courageous and calls us to confront and sit with our fears of those who are different. Only then can we feel a transforming love. The act of hospitality helps us as individuals and as a faith community. We all know that merely being nice to people does not always change us. We sometimes go through the motions without being affected. The hospitality espoused by St. Benedict requires us to make connections with those we feel are different, and then we are personally transformed. Those parents who embrace the opportunity their special needs child provides for healing and growth are the ones personally transformed by their parenting experience, instead of staying stuck in the pain and the why me syndrome. Connecting with a child who is struggling can be simple. It does not necessarily mean making every child your best friend. It means listening to children tell their stories. When we listen to children's stories, we will learn something we would never have learned. Children are rarely listened to, so often their desires and wants are ignored by the adults who believe they know best. We make assumptions about children's behaviors all the time. We make assumptions based on the labels and our past experiences. So often when we parent, befriend, or minister to children, we must confront our own fears. Children often reflect our own past hurts and disappointments. Sometimes we do not understand their behavior, and as adults we feel we must control the behavior or we can panic. Give yourself the gift of a question. Ask a child why they are behaving the way they are, but ask from a place of respect and acceptance, of genuine curiosity. Then listen. Listening is one of the ways we see the world through the child's eyes. Listening is one of the ways we see the divine in each child. Father Homan says, listening is the core of hospitality. And while the people we listen to benefit from our attention, in the end, we are the ones transformed. Benedict doesn't call us to listen on the surface. He wants us to listen with the ears of the soul. Listen way down deep. You know the place. It's the same place that weeps at the sight of a newborn child, the same place that falls silent at the edge of a mountain. Listen for that place. Being able to see the world from the child's perspective means being willing to drop the labels and the assumptions. As Father Homan says, the walls only come down when the labels are changed into human faces. It means accepting the divine presence of every child, operating from the giftedness paradigm, helps us understand the idea God or the divine or the universe does not make mistakes. The giftedness paradigm has profound implications for children with disabilities. Believing that children with disabilities are no mistakes is essential to our ability to accept them into our congregations, into this congregation, to minister to or to parent them. We must be able to see the wholeness of spirit instead of only brokenness or deficits. Otherwise, we lose sight of the whole child and their unique gift to this world. This is a lesson for all of us. All of us. To see wholeness of spirit for all the children in our church. The lessons from embracing the opportunity children with special needs provides us for healing and growth are many. It's not the events in our lives that shape our destiny, but the decisions we make about those events. We can turn obstacles into opportunities by choosing how we think and how we respond. We can embrace the opportunities or obstacles that come our way as lessons to be learned with many blessings, or we can choose to think of these obstacles as barriers. In many people's minds, Judith Snow's life is filled with insurmountable obstacles. Judith, whose words we heard earlier in the service, chooses to see her life differently and attracts people to help her break down the walls and obstacles that would keep her confined and helpless so that she can be the visionary that she is. Children with special needs and all our children can help us heal as we help them heal. It is a sacred circle. We are co-creators with the divine of our own experience. We can choose how we want to live our lives. We can choose to believe that children with special needs are no more than their labels imply, or we can see the wholeness of their spirit. Parenting, loving, befriending, and ministering to children with special challenges changes people. How we handle the change will either mire us in the prevalent belief system about disability and limitations, or it will set us free and alter our ideas about who we are and why the universe has brought us into being. Radical hospitality is about preparing a place at the table for all who enter our church, who enter through those doors. Preparation says you are welcome, you are accepted, you are honored. Margaret Mead's famous phrase, "It takes a village to raise a child," may be overused, but it rings so true. Sometimes it takes an entire church community to raise a child. And I know that to be true with my daughter. And to do this, we must adopt an attitude of hospitality that is based on seeing the divine in every child. Confronting our fears of differences, listening to children's stories with an open heart, and recognizing each child's life as holy ground. And holy ground is often risky ground. So here it is. As a congregation, we can embrace the opportunity that each child and adult who crosses the threshold into our church provides us to be in a community that accepts differences and a gift as gifts and opportunities for meaningful interaction and spiritual connection. We know in our hearts that no adult or child is a mistake. They are whole unto themselves in God's mind. We are all here as unique spiritual beings in physical bodies, having a variety of different experiences, but all questing for meaning and connection.